Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today, skipper for the program. We've got some great interviews that we think you'll enjoy. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio America. Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit. All donations and sponsorships are tax deductible, and you can go to veteransradio.net to help out, and also to leave any comments that you might have about today's program or any just general comments or program ideas that we might be able to incorporate into future programs. So we'd really appreciate that. A number of sponsors to thank before we get started. Legal Help for Veterans, a VA disability law firm at 1-800-693-4800. Ann Arbor Veteran Service Organizations, Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kettle Chapter, Ann Arbor Legion Post 46, VFW Post 423. U.S. Wings, they're the manufacturers and distributors of those great leather jackets and military apparel. Go visit them at uswings.com. And National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC, certifies service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. So let's move on to today's great interviews. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio Professor Jeffrey Hoffman, PhD, a health services researcher. Jeff, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim. It's great to be here.
Well, we're going to get to your specialty and an area that you recently wrote on and a study that came out, but let's start with the basics. You went to Harvard, you went out to UCLA to pick up your master's in public health and your PhD in public health, and you made your way to the University of Michigan School of Nursing, and you are a professor there. And tell us a little bit about the area that you focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just sort of stepping back for half a sec, you know, I also had a really wonderful opportunity after my master's of public health. I spent a couple of years in DC, and one of the things I did there was a management fellowship at the Veterans Health Administration. Actually, I worked in the central office there in what's called the Office of Geriatrics and Extended Care. And that's kind of what got me into this whole area of research. So segueing to what you were asking, I pretty much work on gerontological issues. I study aging and specifically the interface of policy and aging. So how do Medicare policies and other policies affect sort of care quality and service utilization for older adults? And, you know, I'm really interested in particular, as you might guess, in falls and fall injuries, given the aging of the population. And I also do a fair amount of work on family caregiving and things of that nature.
Well, for our veteran radio listeners, this is an important area because, you know, in just the natural progression of life, our Vietnam-era veterans now have, and there's 6.4 million of them, have an average age of 71. And actually, there's still about 500,000 World War II veterans around, but their average age is about 93. So this whole issue of proper care and gerontology is really important to the veteran cohort that we're talking to, Jeff.
That's right.
So talk to us a little bit about the research that you were doing and kind of why you even bothered to look at this issue, which I think is an important issue, but I was surprised to see some. It was almost like I was like, oh, I'm glad somebody looked at this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really interesting that sort of the forces that shape what researchers look at tend to be to sort into different categories. Some people just go study sort of their life's passion. I think a lot of what people do is sort of study the healthcare system and where the money's at. And, you know, it so happens that geriatrics or gerontology, the study of aging, is sort of the sweet spot. That's where a lot of our spending in the healthcare system is. And, you know, for health economists, some waste in spending and areas we could sort of change the delivery systems and provide better, more optimized care. But it's also a place where, you know, there's tremendous need. And for my money, you know, I started off at the central office at the VA working under this wonderful guy, Dr. Tom Eads, who's a geriatrician. And he implemented what are, you know, all these really cool, innovative programs for veterans, like home-based primary care and medical foster homes and all these wonderful things. And you know, what he always used to tell me is geriatricians were sort of the lowest paid doctors out there, but also the happiest in surveys. And so I've sort of glommed on to studying this topic, both because I think it's the area one can really think about making the biggest difference. We also have just even beyond the veterans population, which has sort of a dedicated specific healthcare system for those with service connection. But it is an aging population confronting a lot of these needs. But it's also reflective of broader trends. You know, we have an aging population in the U.S. more generally speaking, with the aging of the boomers. And so I just found, you know, thinking about issues of aging, probably the best place to think about it is the veterans population. Help us think through what's going to confront us in 10, 20 years when we're going to need more family caregivers. Spending's going to be, you know, growing even more exponentially. Like, how are we going to handle it? How is our system going to work under that strain? And I think falls in particular are really interesting because they happen to a lot of people. They're really debilitating. They can really sort of destroy self-confidence and one's ability to sort of navigate the aging process, but they're also preventable. And so it's just I think a really interesting topic to study. And in this case, for this particular study, I had the pleasure of working with a student, actually, Dan Marciniak, who's the lead author on the paper, who just enrolled this last year at University of Michigan School of Medicine. He's becoming an MD, and he's a veteran himself. And so we decided to work on this project together.
One of the things that's sort of interesting in the work that you do in the research to drive sort of outcomes and recommendations is this is about large data sets and a lot of information. And that's, again, something the VA is really good at, is collecting information. Talk to us a little bit about that aspect of research into a topic like this.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question, Jim. You know, I most of my research does occur using sort of large databases. You know, when I was at the VA, I was able to work with specific VA data sets. And now that I'm outside the VA, even though I work with people who still do VA research, I'm using more generally sort of Medicare data sets, in particular for this study, a really interesting nationally representative survey called the Health and Retirement Study that you can link to Medicare data and do all sorts of cool stuff with. To me, sort of leveraging bigger data gives you the ability to see trends in the populations and really sort of get at questions that are harder to assess when you have smaller populations. I will say what I thought was probably the coolest part of getting the opportunity to do this study was that, you know, I think we mentioned in the paper, there just aren't a lot of papers that have talked about, amazingly, that have talked about sort of fall risk in the veterans population. And the other component that's interesting is that, you know, as your listeners well know, you know, the VA provides medical care and other sorts of services, of course, to service-connected veterans, generally speaking. But there's a much broader veterans population that's out there as well that's not uniformly service-connected in ways that sort of administratively connect them to VA care. And so what was really cool in this study is we had a lot of sort of big data, as you say, that allowed us to take a look at the broader veteran population and think about, you know, what lessons can we learn about this population and how can we apply those lessons to the broader population? It was just a really cool opportunity to pull together all these years of data and to try to use these survey responses that veterans gave compared to non-veterans and get a sense of what's going on out there. And I believe, you know, as researchers, we always like to sort of pat ourselves on the back after, you know, digging in the trenches through this data for a year and then finally coming up with the paper to say we were the first to do X, Y, or Z. And I actually think in this case, you know, there just aren't that many studies out there. So we might have been the first to have the opportunity and the privilege to look at this stuff.
Well, go ahead and tell us what that data analysis revealed relative to the risk of falls and the outcomes of falls.
Sure. So we thought the results were pretty interesting. What we found was that looking at an older adult population, and as I said, looking at the broader veterans population, not just those who are service connected getting VA care, and comparing those to individuals who are older in the U.S. who do not have any history of military service, when we compared the two head to head, we found that a higher proportion of veterans had what we call non-injurious falls, so falls that did not lead to an injury requiring medical care. They had more non-injurious falls, but they had fewer injurious falls. So in other words, they're more likely to have minor falls without injury. And so that was sort of the first major finding that we thought was really interesting. The second thing we found was we were curious, like, would any differences that we saw reflect differences in these two populations' physical activity levels? You know, there's a lot of information out there suggesting that veterans tend to, granted, the veterans population is a really diverse population. So as you say, the World War II cohort, whose average age is in the 90s, probably wouldn't have these characteristics. But generally speaking, the broader veterans population is more physically active. And we found that in our data too. So we were curious, if veterans are more active, does that prevent falls for them? Is it a good thing for them to be active, or is it a bad thing? And then the last thing we wanted to look at was, as they get older, does fall risk increase? So as I say, our first finding was that there were more non-injurious, but more injury-related falls for veterans compared to non-vets.
So let me stop you there, because I don't want to rush through these.
Yeah, sorry.
It's more falls or just more non-injurious falls?
Yeah, it was more non-injurious falls. So overall, the falls, we didn't see a big difference. It seemed to be the case that veterans were more likely to have sort of less serious falls, if that makes sense. Falls not leading to medical care.
Right.
So that was our first finding. I'm sorry to rush through. And the second finding was that when veterans were physically active, so we measured physical activity by using survey responses, saying, you know, where veterans and non-veterans were asked, do you regularly engage in physical activity? And we looked at moderate and vigorous physical activity. So we looked at things like moderate activity could include, you know, gardening, mowing the lawn, going for walks, stuff like that. And vigorous activity would be playing tennis or, you know, going for a jog or something like that. And we found that veterans were more likely to report regularly doing those sorts of activities than non-veterans. And then secondly, we found that when they did regularly exercise in those ways, their fall risk was reduced more than for non-veterans.
And that was really interesting. Yeah, in some regards, this is, I mean, I'm not sure you can draw this line this straight, but you would hope that veterans, because of their time in service and you know, regular PT and sort of being, hopefully being in shape during that service, picked up a few habits over time that stayed with them, and maybe that explains a bit of why they find themselves engaged in more moderate activity than the non-veterans as they age. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we frankly had some of the same, you know, thoughts and inferences. We couldn't know for sure. We don't have, you know, survey data that will give us every sort of insight into explanations or mechanisms for that relationship. But it certainly seems to be the case, and I think it's totally reasonable to posit that those explanations you gave are true. That we had sort of two explanations that we gave for that. Like, the first would be that, either because people select into the military service because, they're naturally more physically active individuals, and or, once you're in the military, you're just, as you say, sort of more regularly engaged with and developed. I think of it like health habits or health capital that you carry on with the rest, through the rest of time, throughout your life. I guess one other thought we had was that, when people are saying, yes, I regularly engage in these sorts of physical activities, when a veteran's reporting it, they may be thinking, yeah, I do that every day, or I do that 5 days a week, whereas a non-veteran might be saying, oh, yeah, I do that, but they mean they do it a few times a week, So we actually found evidence of that latter sort of mechanism that veterans, when they did report regular physical activity, they were actually doing more of it every week. And so we think it's some combination of that. They exercise more when they say they're exercise, and also that they have some sort of health capital, like you were saying, which I think is, great.
Well, I can see the public service announcement right now where, General Colin Powell or General Bud Day takes your research here and says, see, now it's proven. I want you guys to get out there and continue to walk every day,
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing here on Veterans Radio. We're telling you that Dr. Jeffrey Hoffman has done the research. It is good for you. It's not just your wife or your doctor nagging you. It is, in the long term, good for you to get out there and do some moderate activity. So what you found was the falls weren't so severe. They did a little more exercise. Is there a point at which the veteran and non-veteran information or results mm-hmm. kind of come to the same point over time?
Yeah, and that's sort of the third thing we found. So there's definitely there's more benefit to vets than non-veterans from this regular physical activity engagement, but. And that benefit doesn't go away over time. But what we do see is that by the time veterans and non-veterans reach the older ages, like ages 85 and older, that that veterans' fall risk starts to increase more rapidly than for non-veterans. And so, it's kind of hard to disentangle. But what we think is the takeaways are just what you said, that veterans sort of have this health capital or, good habits, and that those serve them really well when they use them. So if you exercise, you reduce your fall risk. But because veterans do, as they age, potentially accumulate some functional limitations, that at a certain point, the exercise doesn't overcome sort of the proclivity, I guess is the word, the potential for falling. So I guess the bigger takeaway, the message would be, I think we hear all the time, it's like, oh, you should be careful and, you should use caution when you get older. And I think older adults tend to chafe at hearing people say that. They're sort of like, I don't want to slow down. I think what we're showing is, it's up to the individual, but it's certainly reasonable to think that if you engage in safe, sort of careful, regular exercise, it's good for you, and you have to weigh the risks. You might have, I guess, like we said, a few more less serious falls, but you're protected from the more serious falls potentially. So
don't let those falls necessarily stop you from continuing with some, safe, moderate exercise is kind of what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's always a little hard to say something like that because you don't want to have people entertain too much risk, and it's never good to fall, and falling doesn't feel very good. I had two grandmas. I was fortunate. One lived to 99. She just about made it to 100, and the other, recently passed away at age 93. And I'll tell you, my older grandma, Grandma May, she wouldn't listen to a thing that I said, and she loved me, but I would try desperately. I'd go visit her all the time and I'd say, Grandma, you can't wear that dress. It's draped on the floor. You're going to trip over it. And she'd be like, oh, I'm fine. And she would fall and just get right back up and I don't say that lightly or make fun of it, but you know, like she just, there was no stopping her. She was a trooper, you know? And, but I think like everyone's different. Some people are going to like, you know, be more risk averse, but I'm just a little nervous about the idea that we just tell people like, once you're like 75, you should stop doing stuff. You know, I think like you need to talk to your doctor, you need to talk to your spouse or your child or, you know, whoever is helping you and supporting you and make decisions that are good for you, you know. And sometimes like, you know, like we leave the house every day and we don't all drive a tank that guarantees we're not going to, you know, get in a car accident and be safe. Right. And like we have to make difficult trade-offs sometimes. And I just feel like exercise, autonomy are so important to us all as we get older that, you know, we don't want to just shut it all down just because we're afraid, you know, of having some safety events like falls, you know. We got to be super careful, but we also got to like, you know, stay healthy and try to keep our independence and autonomy, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking really to these, there's probably 10 million veterans at the moment who fit in that category of, you know, plus 50, who might be being told, hey, slow down, be careful, you don't want to fall.
Right.
Whereas a minor fall is not, you know, more likely to be non-injurious here because as long as you stay active, your systems are better off. I do want to point out, and this is noted in one of the articles I read on the paper, this study looked primarily at men, didn't it? Isn't that kind of talk about that distinction?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, because we're looking at this survey, the Health and Retirement Study that that primarily enrolls people who are like ages 51 and older. You know, we're looking at older generations, so that's including some of the folks you were talking about before, the Vietnam era vets, but also the you know in the cohort speak of this survey, you know, the baby boomers, the war babies, the early baby boomers, you know, all these older groups. And so you know, the military is comprised more, you know, primarily in the earlier cohorts of men. And so it's absolutely the case that in our study, we had about 90% of the veteran cohort we were looking at were males. And so, you know, that was one other potential explanation for what we found, is that we also know from other research about physical activity that men on average in the population, all these things we're talking about here, you know, Jim, are like averages, right? Like we can't talk about individual predictions, but like men tend to be a little more physically active than women, just small percentage differences, but you know, real differences. And so we sort of looked into that too, to see like, is that sort of explaining what we're finding? And we didn't really find evidence of that, but you know, we'd need a more very diverse data set with more women in it who are veterans to really sort of dig into that question a little bit more, for sure.
Well, it's interesting research. It's good advice. I think it, you know, in the end, it may be practical advice, but that's backed up by the research. Dr. Jeffrey Hoffman, I want to thank you from taking some time today from your University of Michigan School of Nursing duties to talk to Veterans Radio on this important issue.
You got it. And thank you so much for having me here. And it's a privilege to talk to you guys and about this really like important topic. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.